The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Kick off the show here.
We're agreeing!
Cleaned up. Man, Bill's Mafia. Welcome to the Mafia Cast. We are live today. I am live from Lubbock, Texas. I'm in my mom's house doing a little traveling. How are you guys doing?
Not traveling. Same old. Go to work, come home, do podcasts.
We've got the one and only Joe Miller with us today. Thank you, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. I'll be traveling to Phoenix, Arizona on Tuesday for work. Not super excited about that, but yeah, traveling nonetheless. But my job requires, I was in Toronto yesterday. My job requires me to travel a lot, so. But good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. I don't think I envy you in the traveling. Didn't go so well for me on this one. I couldn't even get out of Boise for like 2 hours late on that.
Well, the problem is you went to Boise.
No, I'm leaving. I was leaving Boise.
Oh, gotcha. My bad. What are you doing in Boise? Don't go to Boise. Don't stay there. Go someplace else.
That's where I live.
We've been trying to get him to move out this way, but I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, Boise is home. No, but my flight was delayed 2 hours. And the funny thing is the plane was late getting to the airport in the first place. And then they got there, and then they come out and they announce over their PA system mechanical issues because apparently the laboratory, as they refer to it, was clogged.
All right.
So I was like, we don't want to hear all the details about that.
At least you aren't the guy that.
But anyway.
What was the story a couple months ago where the guy like went to the bathroom on the airplane before it took off and like clogged the toilet, and then the plane couldn't take off, so they had to like deplane and like fix the plane because he broke the toilet. But yeah, so I travel a bunch. I don't mind it, believe it or not. When I took the job, I knew that it would travel, and I was kind of concerned about how much it was. And now that I am traveling, I'm kind of enjoying it. So at my age, but yeah, it's fun, but it can be a pain in the butt. So especially if you're coming home from Mexico on American Airlines, I don't recommend anybody do that. Six for six. They've never gotten us home on time. They've always stranded us, canceled us, something. Next day, six for six. Yeah, it's bad.
Noted. American Airlines. I flew on Delta. I eventually got to Atlanta, so I went to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta I was supposed to go to Panama City. That flight obviously already taken off before I got there. So my daughter, who lives in Panama City, I was going to get her and my granddaughter, and they're moving back to Idaho. So she picks me up at the airport. She drives 5 hours from Panama City to Atlanta, picks me up, and we just jumped in the car and immediately started towards home. So the first 17 hours through the night, we drove, and now we're, you know, picking the stop at my mom's house. So it worked out. We got where we were kind of going and stuff, but I don't recommend ever stopping in Atlanta for gas or anything. Just drive right on through that city. I was concerned when we stopped that we might die, but we did. Got out of there. There was some shady stuff at the gas station, and I won't go into the whole story, but
I think you went to the wrong gas station, bro.
That was wrong part of town for sure. We were standing there. She went inside to change the baby's diaper, and I was sitting in the car. We were filled up and ready to go, and this lady comes up to the side of the car, starts knocking on the window. This one was completely coked out or on something. There was no question. Mm. She's like, roll down your window. Roll down your window. I was like, I'm not rolling my window down. You're crazy.
See ya.
But anyways, let's move on. We're here to talk Buffalo Bills, so let's do that. And I know the season didn't end well, obviously. We won't get into too much of that. But here we are with the free agencies kind of, I would say we're post-free agency at this point. There might be some more signings. There was one today, in fact. But before we get too much further into that, Mike, you wanna play our thing for our sponsors?
Yeah. Here's a little radio spot for our buddy John over at Game On Video Games and Sports Memorabilia.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153.
That's our sponsor over at Game On Sports. They're fantastic people. Do some great things over there. Get some great memorabilia. And again, it's not just Bills stuff. So whatever sport you're into, whatever hobby you're into, well, I won't say whatever hobby. That could be dangerous. But they've got a lot of neat stuff over there.
Yeah.
So let's just kind of jump into the whole free agency bit. Of course, we're welcoming Joe Miller to the show, and I saw kind of a back and forth between you and Spence, I guess a week or so ago, about Curtis Samuel signing, I believe. So that's what spurred me to reach out to you and see if you wanted to come on the show today and talk about that, and you know, among some other things. But let's start there. So what are your thoughts on Curtis Samuel?
What? Curtis Samuel is a nice player. It's funny because this I went to the live recording of the Shout podcast with Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot, and Parrino was like, "You're coming on the show." I was like, "Bro, I didn't come here to be on your show." He goes, "You're coming." He goes, "That take about Curtis Samuel was hot." And I'm like, "I don't think it was that hot." He goes, "It was hot." And I'm like, "Okay." So I tweet out effectively that, you know, basically the Curtis Samuel signing just gives me Jamison Crowder vibes. And I wasn't saying that Jamison Crowder and Curtis Samuel are the same player. I wasn't saying like, oh, they've had the same career. It just had a very kind of like, I feel like we've been down this road. We're going to go find a guy, right, that hasn't really overachieved. He's kind of underachieved. He's got some talent. He's got some elusiveness. We're trying to fill that Cole Beasley void. And basically, there's some injury history somewhat on both sides, not as much on Curtis Samuel's side as we kind of think there is. But effectively, that's all the take was, is it's just given me kind of like Jamison Crowder vibes. And man, people lost their minds. Like, people were like, how dare you say that Curtis Samuel is Jamison Crowder? But if you remember when we signed Jamison Crowder, Twitter kind of lit up the same way that it did when we signed Curtis Samuel, which goes back to the Jamison Crowder vibes. Right. I like Curtis Samuel. I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for what the Bills are trying to accomplish in our minds, in our collective minds. I don't know that that's necessarily what the Bills are, at the end of the day, trying to accomplish. You know, the Buffalo Bills have been trying to replace Cole Beasley since Cole Beasley left the first time, to include bringing back Cole Beasley to replace Cole Beasley, and they didn't take him off the bench. They left him on the bench, and it was like, well, we're going to save him for the playoffs, right? And then, like, the playoffs come, and he's still on the pine. Meanwhile, we're missing that key piece, that Cole Beasley guy to move the ball and always be there 2-3 yards down the field, a guy that sees the field the way that, Josh Allen does. I mean, as much as we give Stephon Diggs the credit for kind of unleashing Josh Allen 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever he's become, Cole Beasley might be more about it than Stephon Diggs was, because Cole saw the field the way that Josh sees the field. So Josh just always knew where Cole was going to be, and he was that outlet guy, and he just kept the sticks moving. He was sure-handed. He could catch the football. He could get open. Samuel presents and brings a lot of the same intangibles and tangibles as far as that goes. Whether or not he is going to be Cole Beasley, and I would say it this way, whether or not the Bills are going to use him, right, the way that they used Cole Beasley, remains to be seen. The funny part, and I'm long-winded, I apologize. I haven't done a show in forever.
all good, all good.
The thing that remains to be seen, and I say this often to people, and I've done it on Twitter as well, you know, everybody's excited about the 2023 Bills offense and how we got the run game involved. And look at, you know, James Cook, and I love James Cook, and everybody loves James Cook. And, you know, who knows what the 2024 offense is going to look like. And I'm always like, hang on a second. If you could have the 2023 offense or the 2020 offense, which one are you taking? And everybody immediately goes 2020. It's like,
yeah,
there we are. There we are. Right?
Yeah. What do you guys think, Casey, Mike?
I don't think this dude has spoken yet.
No.
Are you just the moderator? Are you here to like bleep out words? Because I don't swear generally.
Dude, I'm dealing with some back problems right now. So like I'm trying to keep talking to not a minimum, but you know, trying not to get too animated here.
Anyway. Yeah. Trying to do his best just not to look grumpy.
Yeah. He likes to give me crap about being old, but you know.
I got you. I might have two of you stacked age-wise, so I'm 50. I'll be 51 in June, so I'm old.
I'm the youngest one on the show, but I swear to God, I'm the oldest one. I swear.
You're not too much older like Curtis Samuel. You got me by 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's right. That's right. See, Ronnie's still up there. I like Curtis Samuel. I liked him when he was down in Carolina. I mean, obviously, when he was with Joe Brady. Samuel's never played with a quarterback like Josh. I mean,
I think they said that about Jamison Crowder.
Agreed. You know, they did, but I also think that Curtis Samuel is a generally better player than Jamison Crowder is.
Fair.
You know, he can be the gadget guy that we saw how much he when he played in Carolina, how much Joe Brady had him run. You know, Crowder was in there to be the Cole Beasley guy, but he wasn't there to bring the jet sweeps and the screens and running the routes out of the backfield like I think they're going to have Curtis Samuel do. I would see Curtis Samuel as somewhere like, I don't know, maybe 200 rushing yards this year for us. Just, you know, off swing passes that, you know, just maybe end up going like being counted as a run instead of a pass. But, I mean, he can play outside. He can play inside. Crowder was more of a slot receiver. They expected and tried to force him to be a slot receiver, and I think that they're going to have Samuel just kind of be a chess piece and move him all around the board. So I get what like the similarities that you definitely made.
Not similarities, like, just vibes. All I said was vibes.
Yeah, but the vibe similarities, like because I get it. Like I thought, I mean, it was the same thing with Jamison Crowder, but I just think just the level of player that Curtis Samuel is compared to Jameson Crowder. That's what has me a little bit more excited than it did when we signed Crowder. And I was happy when we signed him then.
I'd agree. I'd say I'm definitely more excited than the Jameson Crowder signing. As far as vibes, now I'm kind of getting Cole Beasley vibes, I think. but no, I like the idea, the versatility, being able to be part of the rushing attack, maybe moving around the field. And just the speed, you know, getting across the field and just getting to the open spot for Josh, you know, to check down if he has to and be that guy that's there, like Joe kind of said.
The interesting thing about it is that everybody keeps touting and talking about the run ability. And another one is the bubble screen thing. And it's like the Bills don't run bubble screen wide receiver screens well. Like they don't and we just let our best blocking wide receiver go. Like, so we'll see what happens, but go ahead.
But he's another player on the field, you know, throw him in motion, you know, kind of distract people even on the defense. So, yeah, I mean, it's a new solid piece. And I mean, I don't think we expected to get a receiver like him in this year in free agency.
100%.
So it's definitely a pleasant surprise.
100%.
I think we didn't run bubble screens as well. Well, we didn't run them well with Diggs, but we ran them well with Shakir. Because
you couldn't catch them.
Well, that's a big part of the issue. But it seemed like Diggs always he was always going lateral when he would catch those passes. He was trying to like make everybody go by him, so then he could take off. Shakir would kind of bob and weave, like work his way further upfield while doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think that Curtis Samuel, being a little bit quicker of a player, they're kind of having the same thought process with, all right, so if Shakir was able to do it, let's get a guy that is a little bit smaller than Shakir, but quicker and faster, and see how well he can do it.
Yeah, I like it.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. My first question, because it's something that you said when you're talking about, we've been looking to replace Beasley since Beasley. Is Shakir that guy? Have we found that replacement in Shakir, do you think?
Are you asking the panel or are you asking me?
All of you.
Anyone.
We'll start with you, Joe.
Oh, I was going to let somebody else go first.
Okay, we'll go over to, let's start with Mike on this one.
I love Shakir. I think he's solid, but I don't think he's that maybe yet. Maybe further along in his career with more experience, he could maybe be more reliable. In that sort of sense, I guess.
I mean, he had the highest catch rate of any receiver in the league. That's
yeah,
pretty reliable.
I mean, not to say, yeah, he's not reliable, but I don't know. It's hard to say because we've seen Cole Beasley in his heyday, and then we've seen him, you know, with the last season he played for the Bills, which wasn't too impressive, which I don't know. It wasn't all on him, but
he had a broken leg, he had broken ribs, he had
he was broken. we're talking like, I feel like there's different versions of Cole Beasley out there as well.
Right. Right.
I don't know.
I'll go next. I mean, I like Shakir a lot as well. I came into this season 2023 kind of like with an expectation different than everybody else's. Everybody else's was like, he caught 10 passes, make him the number two wide receiver. And it's like, can we wait a moment? Like, he caught 10 passes and there's a reason that he wasn't necessarily on the field, but Shakir made himself a solid target and did a lot with his opportunities in 2023. And it was great to see him do that. He obviously is quicker on the field. So there's a word that Bruce Nolan talks about, verticality. So verticality isn't necessarily like straight line speed. Just because you're not super fast, Gabe Davis, doesn't mean that you can't get vertical. Shakir kind of has that ability too, to kind of get by people and like use his football speed. It's tough for us as Bills fans to always want to be like, well, he's the next blank, right? And Cole Beasley is a purple unicorn. Like, that dude, there's a reason the Bills brought him in when they did and paid him what they paid him. I mean, for 3 years, he led the league in yards of separation, which is a stat that Curtis Samuel actually had, I think, last year. So he led the league in yards of separation by a little over 3 yards, which is right around that Cole Beasley kind of like spot was. I love Shakir. Super excited for his role on this team. I still think Shakir is a 3 or a 4 guy as far as kind of like in the depth chart. I don't find him necessarily being kind of like that go-to, more towards 4, that go-to. I think if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Diggs in the slot and it's going to be, you know, Curtis Samuel in the slot. But that's predicated upon the Bills drafting a number one wide receiver in this draft for the future, right? So a guy that they're going to put on the outside and become that guy. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think who they want to replace Cole Beasley is Dalton Kincaid. I think that's why they drafted him. We saw how good he was last year at getting to the heart of the defense, you know, sitting between the linebackers and the safeties and being that 5-7 yard check down for Josh.
It's a great take.
But I think Shakir is the perfect number 3 wide receiver for this football team. We're missing he's not a number 2. He's not absolutely fantastic at anything. If he was a lineman, he would be oh my gosh. Now the guy that we just traded, right, he'd be Ryan Bates.
No, Ryan Bates, yeah.
Because he's not great at anything, but he's good at everything. So yeah. I think Shakir is going to be the guy that gets, you know, 400 or 500, 600 yards, 4 or 5 touchdowns on about, you know, 40 catches just about every year for us. I mean, and Ronnie, you know how much I love Shakir. He's been our guy that we have pounded the table for since, you know, we drafted him. Like Joe said, I think this is the year that rounds one or two, we take a wide receiver, like to start expanding that wide receiver one and come in to be the wide receiver two, and sprinkle in Shakir in the three down set, and then mix in Knox and Kincaid, depending on the package, like which of those two tight ends they'd rather have out there.
Yeah, I think I saw a take on Twitter at one point in time. It was last week where they're like, you know, Stephon Diggs this, Stephon Diggs that. We have the next Stephon Diggs on the team. Look at Shakir, and they like put their numbers together. And I was like, oh no. Like, can we not? Like, Stephon Diggs, even in college, coming into the pros, as much as he went in the fifth round, was an elite route runner. I mean, Stephon Diggs wins on 80% of his routes in every level of the field, which is almost unheard of in the NFL. That's at least 80. Some of the levels of the field, whether it's short, intermediate, or deep, he wins at a greater rate than 80%. Stephon is another world, and you know, we all love Shakir, but he is not the route runner that Stephon Diggs is. Yeah.
No, and like you just said, there's what, maybe three other guys in the NFL that are. So, right. You know, just right. I think that's where Bills Mafia, we jumped the gun. We were itching for number two. All right, we had a great number one wide receiver. We saw the NFL start to go two wide receiver heavy, like two great wide receivers heavy.
Yep.
We saw Gabe Davis flash his first 2 years behind Emmanuel Sanders
and John Brown.
And John Brown. And we were just, you know, we were like, all right, this is it. You know, we got a star in the making, and everybody got our hopes up and expected more than I think was relatively, you know, consciously smart for Bills Mafia. Like we jumped the gun on it. And again, he was a fifth round pick, you know, for a reason. He wasn't expected to be a number two wide receiver, you know, especially in his third year of the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact that we got as much use out of him as we did, and he turned it into getting paid, I think that's great for Gabe. But we just, I just don't want us to do that with Shakir. I think that Bills Mafia is like towing the line right now of pushing the Shakir to number two again.
Yeah.
You guys know how I feel about Khalil Shakir. I watched him grow up here in Boise. Watched from the moment they recruited him and he signed on the, you know, National Signing Day. He became Boise State's number one guy. He became that guy that when you needed a catch in a first down, he was there. So the moment we drafted him, I'll admit right now, I was one of those guys. Oh, he's our number two for sure. He's going to be there. I guarantee it. And I continued to pound that table. And then, yeah, his rookie year didn't look so great. Last year, if you watch from week one, I believe his snap share was like 10%, 9%, somewhere around there. And every single week, it increased a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. From, I think, week nine on, he had 39 receptions. What I'm saying that because, Casey, what you just said, that he's going to be that 40 reception, 500-600-yard guy every year. He was that last year in half a season, essentially. So I do expect more from him this year. Do I think he can be the number two guy? Probably not, if I'm being honest with myself, because I don't think he has the physical traits to be that kind of guy. Do I think he could become one of the better slot receivers in this game? I do think he could do that. I don't think we have that number two guy on the roster right now. So
he's like number four in the slot on this roster right now. He's behind Dalton Kincaid. He's behind Curtis Samuel. He's behind Stephon Diggs. Like, he's the number four guy in the slot.
Well, for me, I don't see Kincaid as the slot guy. I see him as the tight end one. I see at the current moment Samuel as the number two by default.
I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right with the draft, which we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, because I do want to talk about it for sure. That's the wide receiver position seems to be like the prevalent Twitter talk right now. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's talking about that and who they should get and what they should do and so on and so forth. But before we get to that, there was I posted up on Twitter earlier today. Well, actually, like an hour or two ago. But asking the question, because there's a lot of talk of some of the defensive tackles in this draft and some of the safeties and wide receivers. Those are some of the more spoke about positions, I guess. So the question was, what's your top five position needs right now for the Bills as they head into the draft? And for me, I don't remember what I put, but I do remember I put defensive tackle at the top as number one because of age and because of depth. I know that they just signed somebody new today, something Williams. I can't remember the first name. Formerly, I think, with the Broncos.
Austin, right? Was it Austin?
No, that was Austin Johnson from Austin a few Johnson, days ago.
That's right. Yeah, my bad. Yep.
Deshaun Williams.
Deshaun, that's right. Deshaun
Williams. Yes. Deshaun Williams. That one was Carolina. Today. And from what I hear about him, I just heard about that today, so I haven't really had a chance to look into it, but it sounds like he's nothing more than kind of a reserve piece. But even with Austin Johnson coming in, they've re-signed Daquan Jones, but to me, that position needs to be looked at more so as depth and future, because Daquan's what, 33? I think.
Yeah.
And Austin Johnson, I was
Deshaun.
I think John, he's in the late 20s.
Yeah, 29. He's like, yeah, and okay. Deshaun is 31.
So they're all in their pretty much almost in their 30s, if not in their 30s. So we need that guy. And I know I've brought up the name, a couple of names at the defensive tackle position for the draft. But again, before we get into that, I want to hear from you guys. What do you think your position needs are as far as, you know, your 1 through 5 on that? We'll go with Mike on this one first.
You got me sold right now on the defensive tackle thing. I didn't have that high on my list. Safety stands out big time to me. And corner. So I have those two, one and two. I know Joe's just talking about receivers and wanting to go there first in the draft and, you know, weighing out possible draft picks with what you need. And so that's kind of in the mix too, but yeah, I'm saying safety, cause right as it sits right now, Taylor Rapp is our starting safety. And I think it's,
let me clarify, I'm not saying positions based on where you would draft, like first round needs to be the
right
position,
right, no,
second round, just in general. So
yeah, I kind of think we're hurting at safety. I don't know, it's weird because I wouldn't necessarily draft safety first either, but I just feel like there's holes there, you know. Still,
way too much value later in the draft and safety.
Unless you're drafting a generational talent, you don't draft safety or center first.
Right. But obviously, with the Poyer and Hyde thing, I'm still feeling, you know, the effects from that. So maybe that's just all that is.
Roy here says defensive tackle, wide receiver, safety, corner, and offensive line. Offensive line was on my list, as was tackle, wide receiver, safety. But my fifth position was, oh my gosh. Anyways, Casey, what's yours? Well, I try to remember what I actually said. I can't remember.
Got to be edge, but go ahead, Casey.
There you go. Edge. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's my number.
I think it's all that's left. But...
yeah, right. Pretty much. Edge is my number one. We have 2 years left of the group. Yeah, 2 years left of the group.
Because Bean is here, which they probably will.
Bean's pretty much said he's going to.
Yeah.
But he hasn't exploded like we keep waiting on. Year three, you know, that was supposed to be the big jump. That's usually the big jump for everybody under McDermott, and he just didn't really do that. Obviously, he is a phenomenal run defender, but it's starting to – he's had more sacks than Shaq Lawson had at this point in his career, but it's starting to kind of feel like another Shaq Lawson pick, to where, you know, Shaq's, again, a great run defender on the edge, and he can throw in a sack here and there, but it's just not consistent enough, especially for and you're picking up in the first round. I know we're picking late in the first, so it's more of an early, like the better end of the second round guys we're getting. So they're not as much of the sure thing, but you'd still expect more out of him at this point. So we have AJ and Vaughn, but after them, Kingsley Jonathan, who I'm hopeful for. I mean, I think he's done well rotationally for us so far. So I wouldn't mind keeping him on the back end of the rotation, maybe making him defensive end 4. But I still think that we need to keep planning for the future, because there's only one more year guaranteed with Von Miller on this team. After that, all the rest of his contract becomes voided, or we can cut him and it not kill us. So I think that's a place
question marks for Miller too. So
that we need. So that's a position that I really think that we need to make a splat, not a splash, but draft this year. And I would say in the top three rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're circling it. And I think you could take the defensive tackle and the defensive end conversation and just pile it into DL, right? The question is yeah. What are you taking and where? Who are the Bills? You know, who are they going to be when they grow up? I've said for several years and been proven right for several years, the Bills have, I don't know how many years running it's been, have had more money invested in the defensive line. Last year might have been the difference just because they had several, like, just $1 or $2 million guys in there. And they want to do this like 50 to 60% rotation or 40 to 50% rotation thing. And it just hasn't worked. It's great that your guys are rested. They're not getting to the quarterback. It's great that your guys are rested. They're not really stopping the run. Like they're going to have to figure that out. Like, you've got Daquan Jones, you've got Ed Oliver. What is wrong with playing them 80% of the snaps, like every other football team does in the National Football League, including like Chris Jones, who wins Super Bowls. Like, let him play 85% of the snaps, roll some guys in when they get tired and need a spell. If there's an 11 minute drive or a 9 minute drive, but positions of need is such a fun conversation mm-hmm. because it literally turns into who, where, when, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right. Yeah. It changes. And I'm not necessarily sure that I'm sold on the idea of Connor McGovern moving to center. I don't know that the Bills are necessarily sold on that idea either. Will Clapp is a fun conversation. I was driving to Toronto on Tuesday and I called Spence just because I had some windshield time and we hadn't chatted in a couple of days. And we were just talking about like Will Clapp. And Will Clapp is like, oh, well, the Bills signed a free agent, you know, offensive line guy. The Bills do that every year. And we get really excited about the fact that they do that. And every year the guy gets cut and doesn't make the football team. It's like, what? So does this guy matter? You know what I mean? Like, is he just camp fodder? I think we've nailed it. Defensive line, wide receiver, safety, cornerback, offensive line. The question is who, when, where. I feel like the Bills have this real good cadence in the NFL too of finding dudes on the couch, Lenville Joseph, and bringing Puna Ford. Here's $1 million. Come play with Josh Allen. Yeah.
And that's like, why I'm saying safety or corner at my top two, because right now we haven't done that yet.
Corner is towards the bottom for me. The Bills, they could throw you in there, Mike, at corner, and you're going to play well. Like,
Have you seen Mike?
I'm not so sure about safety. There was a great point that Matt Parrino made, which was, if it was so easy to play safety in this defense, the Bills would have replaced Hyde and Poyer a long time ago, and not given them bigger contracts. Like, it's not that simple. Corner, on the other hand, it just seems like.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Put a helmet on a guy. Throw him out there.
Cover over top. Bait corner for the Bills is basically keep the guy in front of you.
That's exactly right. That's what, if you remember, and you all do, we all were so mad at Levi Wallace. And then finally somebody that was smarter than us said, it was Mookie Hawkins. He's doing exactly what they want him to do. Just keep the play in front of him. Make the tackle. Yep. That's what they want him to do. And it's like, oh, well, if that's the assignment, and then John Fina said the same thing. It's like, oh, if that's what they want, then he's doing a great job.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they have a track record. Wallace, Jackson, Benford, late round guys that have played well. My brain is so mush right now. I was up for 38 hours yesterday and dealing with, you know, everything. So I'm trying to catch up. My mental fog thing is still there. But first of all, Mike, Casey, what have I been saying for as long as we've been doing the show about that rotation?
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for it.
You know I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
We hear about McDermott and everybody always talk about your best 11. Well, why do you keep taking the best 11 off the field every, couple snaps?
You should email him that. That's good.
Let me just get on the phone.
That's good. That's good. That was good.
But corner for me isn't on there. But let's kind of transition because we've already kind of brought up the draft. There are people out there, the fans, it's wide receiver or bust for them. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Joe, but it almost sounds like that's kind of where you are. But I'll let you elaborate on it. But we know Bean is more about the best player available, this and that. I personally think he's going to probably move up in this draft. I mean, that's not a hot
take. That's what he does. Stretch of imagination. That's what he does, right? To me, Sean McDermott, if Sean McDermott, and Spence and I have laughed about this before, if Sean McDermott is smart, he's going to call Mike Tomlin and say, hey, Mike, what are you taking in the first round? Is it a wide receiver? And more than likely, Mike Tomlin's not taking a wide receiver in the first round. And then he should say, give me your top five wide receivers, because Mike Tomlin can draft wide receivers. That dude played wide receiver in college, and that dude can draft wide receivers like nobody else can. Like, think of the guys that dude has just brought in as rookies and second-year players and just exploded. Moving up wouldn't surprise me at all. Do they move up and get the right guy? I don't know. Is the right guy at 28? Is the right guy earlier than that? Is the right guy later than that? I'm not a draft Nick. I don't know. And to me, the draft is a crapshoot. Literally darts out of dartboard blindfolded. I don't care what anybody says. There's very few players that come into the league in college where you're like, oh my God, that guy. Let's pick one. Andrew Luck. You know who wasn't? Stephon Diggs. You know who wasn't? Aaron Donald. Like, there's a lot of guys that are generational talents and players that, like, guys missed on for rounds and rounds, right? And then there's other dudes that it's like, that's the guy, and then he's a bust.
Jamarcus Russell.
Treylon Burks, right? I mean, the freaking Tennessee Titans moved A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks.
Oh, man, yeah.
And now the general manager's fired, right? It's like, yeah, you F that up big time.
Can I just say that when they drafted Treylon Burks, I called it right off the bat, because the second that the first rookie minicamp he had, like, he couldn't participate because he didn't have his inhaler. I was like, that is not the kind of football player I want on my team. And that is coming from somebody who has asthma.
But literally, Treylon Burks, the Tennessee Titans got fooled. Basically it was the Todd Collins thing. Like, Treylon Burks looks like AJ Brown. He runs like AJ Brown. He's built like AJ Brown. He must be AJ Brown. And if you guys aren't old enough, but Ronnie is, like, that's what we were told about Todd Collins. He's as big as Jim Kelly. He looks like Jim Kelly. He throws like Jim Kelly. Guess what? Todd Collins was not Jim Kelly.
Not even remotely.
Not even remotely close.
And that was, the beginning of the downfall for the Bills, right?
Right.
Yeah.
What would you do, Joe, if you were Brandon Bean, and what would your plan be in attacking this draft?
You clearly, the hard part is, like, you're not supposed to draft for need, and the Buffalo Bills always draft for need. They tell you they don't. Well, we're going to look at our board and we're going to see who's the best up there and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then they draft for need. It's like, then they reach and go get a guy. They do it in the middle rounds all the time. The other issue is the Bills aren't very good in one or two. Like, their scouting department and their guys are great 3 to 6, right? Like, they nail those dudes. Maybe you just, somebody says, let's embrace that. And I think Ronnie said, like, get out of the first round. I don't even know. You've got to find, the Bills are in a position, they were last year too. The Bills are in a position right now where Kansas City was 2 years ago. They got to enter this draft, and they got to find 7 guys that are going to play, period. They can't draft 7 guys and 3 of them make the team and barely play. They got to draft 6 or 7 guys that are going to play significant snaps next year. Where those guys play, who cares? Just go get them and then fill in the holes, right?
And that's kind of what I was saying before. Even before they let Jordan Poyer and all those other guys go, I was saying before that it's time to kind of, like, cut some ties, move forward and almost revamp that defense with some new, fresh, young blood and lean into the rookie class this year and let those guys, you know, learn by fire, basically. I would not have an issue with the Bills trading back, like you were just saying, Joe, especially because the one, as far as receivers goes, the one name that I keep bringing up that I sometimes get a lot of crap for on Twitter is Ladd McConkey. And everybody's like, well, he's not an X guy. Well, I don't really care what the player looks like. Is he a good route runner? Can he get separation? And can he catch the ball? That's all I really care about. The whole, this isn't my grandfather's NFL anymore. We don't need the big, huge receivers. And it's just,
it's positionless.
Right. You don't,
but I think I said it last week, though.
I want a running back who, I don't need a power back. I don't need a third down back. I don't need a first and second down back. I want a guy that can do all of it because they, you know, the offense can be more versatile with that, less predictable. If you've got a McConkey, a Diggs, and a Shakir out there, and a Samuel, throwing Kincaid and Cooks, those guys can go all over the place. There's no one position that they wouldn't be able to play. And I mean,
McConkey's still a 4-3-9 guy. They have to understand the concept of the offense. And the concept of the Bills offense is not simple. Even with Daboll being gone and it going through iterations of Ken Dorsey and then an iteration of Joe Brady, it's still, and again, I'm friends with Isaiah Hodgins, right? He would tell you that it's one of the most difficult offenses in the NFL. And it's not so much because of the concepts and the schemes as much as it is backyard football. And I think that's what Josh Allen has been missing. He's been missing guys that are going to go to where his mind thinks they should go. So when he releases the ball, they end up there. So just, and I think that's the biggest jump or the biggest hurdle as it pertains to drafting wide receivers right now is, you know, you got to find a guy that's going to be able to meld into this system versus a system guy. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mike, with McConkey, I think I don't know. I just,
I hear the name a lot, dude. I'm not a draft Nick. Yeah. I hear the name a lot. It seems like that's where a lot of people are.
Yeah. What I'm stuck on with the receiver thing in the, you know, you're saying it's not the same, you know, football these days, but I still like to think when we're, if we're in a Hail Mary situation, I need a big target there to go up and get it.
Well, you've got it in Dalton Kincaid. You've got a guy.
Yeah. I mean, one more of them, though.
Well, Justin Shorter is on the team as well.
And Collins is 6'4".
Yeah, the statement that was made in last year's draft that everybody seems to have forgotten is the Buffalo Bills' catch rate in 2022 was awful. It was downright putrid. A big, like, problem was Gabe Davis, and he was a problem last year as well. Yeah. The Bills then went and got Dalton Kincaid, who was the best pass-catching tight end. They went and got Justin Shorter, who had a catch rate of 97%. Like, they went and got guys that could catch the freaking football. Justin Shorter didn't play, but you obviously saw what Dalton Kincaid could do. So I feel like they're answering some of those things, right, getting guys that can catch the football. I'm not sold that the guys that they necessarily have can play backyard football the way that Stephon Diggs can, Cole Beasley could, Emmanuel Sanders and John Brown could. I don't know – Shakir seems to be getting there. We'll see if Samuel can. I think there's just something missing from that offense, right? And I feel like that's what it is. Like, they want, who was it? I can't remember who the guy was. There's a dude that was on with John and Jerry last year, and he basically said, if you're wanting to put Josh Allen in structure and be a precision quarterback, you're doing the wrong thing. That's not who he is. Like, he can throw with accuracy and he can put the ball where he wants, but he is not a structure quarterback. He has to, and we see it and we love it, right? That's what we love about him, because as soon as he breaks the pocket, you're like, yes, like that's where you want him to be, outside the pocket. He's just not he's not Kirk Cousins. Like, that's just not who he is.
There's a couple of comments here. First of all, I want to bring up one from Roy. But is Brady's system different from before? Do you, Casey, I'll start with you on this question. Do you think this offense is going to be that much different? Because we've heard, like Joe was just saying, that this offense is tough to learn. Nyheim Hines said it when we first signed him. And there was somebody else, too, that I can't remember who it was. It had you know, referenced that.
There's one of the newer
seasons. Do you think that maybe Brady sees that and maybe he dumbs it down, for lack of a better word, or are we going to see more of the same, just with a little bit of his flavor to it?
I think we're going to see more of just his flavor to it. The only receiver so far, there's two, Matt Collins, coming in, and Curtis Samuel. So those are the only two bodies coming in that have zero idea of what the offense, you know, looks like structurally. We saw when Brady took over, there was a little bit more motion. You know, we were seeing Diggs being put in the backfield. We were seeing Shakir and Knox being put in the backfield. We saw little wrinkles. I expect to see more of that. And I think that's where Curtis Samuel plays in. I think that he is like Joe. I think he is Joe Brady's wrinkle for this year. I think he's like, there's going to be, I think he's going to be, you know, specifically targeted in certain downs and packages. And I think they brought him in for a reason. So that's what I see more so for this offense.
I like that. I'm thinking like use him, and then now we can let Diggs be Diggs instead of forcing those, you know, bubble screens and short passes.
Yeah, agreed. Diggs was not good at that. He was not, in my opinion, good with the ball in his hands and out of the backfield. Some of those runs that they did with him just
right.
To me, yeah, get him out of there and put him back out of the receiver, whether it's on the outside or in the slot or whatever. But yeah, let him do his thing and not try to.
It's interesting because through the first eight games, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but he actually referenced it in one of his Super Bowl radio row conversations. He said through the first eight games, I was having a career season. Then all of a sudden, things changed. And it's Bill Mafia wants to blame Stephon Diggs. Well, he completely vanished in the second half of the season. And it's like, are you sure that's a Stephon Diggs thing? Or is that a team thing? Is that a Joe Brady thing? Right.
So he was being asked to do multiple different things that he isn't used to doing. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, I don't ever remember him lining up the backfield or being put in the slot nearly as much as he was last year, moved around pre-snap. So, and again, I feel like a broken desk here. Like, I think that's where they brought in Curtis Samuel, like Mike said. I think that they just...
Back in our day, that was a broken record.
Yeah, he's too young to know what records are.
Yeah. Sorry.
I couldn't think of it.
It's still, technically, it's a disc, so you're not wrong.
It still works, yeah.
Back, bro.
Right, thank you. Thank you, Joe. At least I respect one of my elders. I think that's, again, that's why they brought in Curtis Samuel. They want Diggs to be Diggs, to get back to doing what he was doing, and everything that they had him doing last time was, or end of last season, was just out of character, out of perspective for him, and it just wasn't working. So I think they brought in Curtis Samuel to do all those things and just let Diggs go wild on the outside again.
The only thing that I'll add to that, I'll be the grumpy old guy that's that anti-Diggs in this conversation, but the targets were still there. They were not quite as high as they were the first half of the season, but he was still being targeted more than any receiver on the team. He had a lot more drops. He led the team in drops. I don't have the answer. I don't know what the issue was. I don't know if it was just Brady. I don't know if there was some lingering injury that he wasn't talking about. I don't believe that was the case. I mean, I don't think you're going to hand the ball off to him in the backfield and have him run through the offensive line if he's got an injury that he's nursing. But
I think that happened once.
There was something up.
I think it happened once. It's not like they did that every game a bunch of times. He wasn't Debo Samuel when we get out there.
Right.
Definitely not Debo. But I am confident that this year will be different. I don't think it's an age thing. I don't think anything like that. I don't think he's hit that wall where he's on a decline.
He's not
at all. But that's my thing with Diggs. I think I was more frustrated with him probably than a lot of people. Well, maybe not a lot of people, but at least these two guys here, Mike and Casey. But
the biggest problem Stephon Diggs had last year was there was no number two. Like it was a lingering problem from 2022. I mean, there was Gabe Davis didn't scare anybody, especially when he vanishes for four games, you know, in a row. Like Stephon Diggs was, they were locking him down, and therefore it was putting him in a position where the only routes he could run were underneath routes where there was a dude or two draped on him. Which Stephon Diggs is an incredible contested catch receiver, but how many times can you go to the well and ask him to catch them all, right? So I think it's fun to scapegoat him a little bit. I don't think it's valid. That's just me, but I mean,
get him, Joe.
I do think he'll be back next year. I'm not concerned none the least about him going into next season. But speaking of Diggs, because we were talking about Ladd McConkey a while ago, and And how you mentioned a while ago that Stefon Diggs coming out of college, he was not a guy. Like, everybody's like, oh, that's Diggs guy, whatever. If you put up, and I pulled this up earlier, but if you put up Diggs' pre-draft scouting report from NFL.com and put it next to Ladd McConkey, they're saying the exact same things.
Let's not do this, yeah. Ron.
I'm not comparing him and saying he's the next Diggs. I'm just for all those people that say that he can't play on the outside or he's not an X receiver. Ladd can do it. Just, I'm going to get off that hill for a minute.
On that, I think we should let Joe get out of here.
It's been a good time. I haven't done anything since the last. I think I skipped the last playoff game, and then I did a show after that, like a week after, something like that, because a bunch of people were mad that they didn't get to spend that time with me. They were like, you know, I had no place. You vent for me, and it's like I just couldn't bring myself to do it. So this has been fun. I appreciate the invite a lot. I haven't talked a whole lot of Bills football. I've been traveling a bunch and really not paying a whole lot of attention. I'm excited for the draft, but thank you guys for having me. This has been a trip.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. We're glad to have you.
If you get the itch to talk, let us know.
Oh, yeah. No. And so Thursdays can generally be tough for me, but yeah, I mean, if you need, I don't know, a dude with a deep voice, an old guy that also has gray in his beard along with Ron, then you need a guy to fill some time. I can't talk as long. I can't monologue as long as Bruce Nolan can. I don't know if you've had Bruce on your show, but that dude.
Maybe some ad reads or some intro stuff or something like that.
I do a lot of that stuff. Yeah. We were watching the Mafia Cast live, brought to you by Game On Sports and the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, my
God. Sounds like an audition right there.
Yeah. It's just,
we'll have to keep you in mind. Yeah.
Appreciate you, fellas. So for everybody paying attention to me, I don't know when I'm going to be coming back. There's conversation around me and John coming back April 1st, doing some more stuff on the overreaction side as far as so most people don't know this. Spence and I have a network, the Overreaction Network, that we broadcast to it from Rumblings, but we don't really do a whole lot on it. I did some stuff last year. So there's some talk about doing some of that through the off season. And then I'm not necessarily sure what the regular season is going to bring either. But I'm looking forward to football. I miss it. So I'm ready. I'm ready for football to be back. Right. So, yeah. Thanks for giving me some energy, fellas. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
No little crack. Crack cocaine in the veins. Right. So. Go Bills, guys. Go Bills.
All right.
Go Bills, buddy.
All right. Red and blue in the veins.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was another. We talked about the defensive tackle a bit. What do we even have right now as far as
defensive tackle?
Yeah, we do. So we talked about Curtis Samuel. I'm trying to get caught up.
We have I'm looking at the depth chart right now. We have Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver, and then our two new additions, Williams and Johnson, Eli Onquo is the fifth there. For D tackles, you're looking for.
Maybe he is a defensive tackle. I'm trying to remember. I was thinking he was an end, but maybe he was one of those guys who could go either way. Is there? Are you the two of you? Are you all about? Are you wide receiver or bust in round one?
I'm kind of settling on the thought of best available. I know there's a lot of receiver talent. I mean, if there is one of the few guys I think of when I think of wide receiver in the first round for the Bills, if they're available, I'd say get them. But there's a lot of – I mean, Casey mentioned edge is a big need, and I know I kind of mentioned my needs were like defensive back, but as far as the draft goes, you know, I'm definitely looking defensive lineman too. So there's a lot of good edge players that could go early that I could see us grabbing as well. As far as trading back and trading up, I'd rather see us trade back than trade up at this point, unless there's someone you're really, really into for some reason. So,
yeah, no,
I like quantity over quality, you know, so to speak, with this draft. And I think the Bills have enough needs where the pressure isn't on to have to go and get that one guy, and we kind of can evaluate what's there and pick, you know, maybe the best available player, whether it's receiver, D lineman, or or maybe even a defensive back, but I've done a few mocks where I've been taking safeties third round and been happy with it. But like Joe said, you know, who's to say how their career ends up in the NFL.
Yeah. And I want to elaborate really quick on what you just said, as far as quantity over quality. The point of that would be, like Joe was talking about throwing darts, the more darts you have, the mm-hmm. more likely you are to hit the target. Right. So I think that's kind of the point of that idea. And I tend to agree. I think this draft is a deep, deep draft. I've heard some people refer to this as the COVID draft because there's a lot of like fifth year seniors in it. So we're starting to see all those guys from 2020 that took that extra year that the NCAA afforded them of eligibility. Now we're seeing those guys. And I think that's one reason why this class is so deep. There are some positions that aren't quite at that level. Like safety, I think, isn't that deep. There's a couple of guys in the 2 to 3 third round range. But Casey, what do you think? Are you one of those wide receivers or I'm going to be mad kind of guys?
No.
In the first round?
No. So I'm team wide receiver in the first round for basically one guy if he's there between 25 and 28, and that's Brian Thomas. He has all the makings. Like, it's like when we were looking at Josh Allen, he was coming out of the draft. He has every intangible that you could want from a quarterback. You know, it's just, he's just not a finished product. And I think that's what Brian Thomas is and could be. He has every single intangible. You get him in a room with Diggs, you know, somebody who's a leader the way he is and how much he works with the other receivers. I don't think Gay would have been as good of a receiver as he was if he didn't have somebody like Diggs to learn behind. Same with Shakir. I think he helped with their developments immensely. But if neither of those guys are there, I mean, if he's not there at, you know, somewhere around 25, then I think it's, you know, trade back to somebody in the early 30s. There's always somebody that in the early second round that wants to bump back up and the end of the first and get one of the guys, you know, whether it be somebody like a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix, get somebody going up and trying to get like getting a quarterback that can sit for a year or two and truly learn behind somebody, someone like the Raiders, I could see wanting to trade back up with us. So then I would be I'm 100% team trade back, grab someone like Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett. And then we're either going to get, you know, maybe a second, another second, or recoup a third. And then we have, you know, then we're back to square one. We have all the same, like, we still got our first round pick, basically, and additional picks, because we still got a very, very good wide receiver. And let's say it's McConkey. But now we have somebody that we can take, maybe a Javon Bullard. Or a Cam Kitchens at safety, someone like a Brandon Fisk at defensive tackle, Ruko Horohoro, defensive tackle out of Clemson, DeMarcus Robinson, defensive end out of Missouri. He's an absolute monster. He's built like Groot. So, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, with Groot starting to come to the end of his contract, I wouldn't mind seeing them go that route. Tyler Newbin, another safety out of Minnesota. Ron, I know you've been a big fan of him lately. I think I'm, unless Brian Thomas is there, I'm 100% team trade back into the second and have three to four picks out of the top four rounds. And instead of, like Mike said, going quantity over quality, it's going quantity over quality, but more so at a targeted rate, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think
that'd be a solid pick. I'd be happy with that, with Brian Thomas.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with Brian Thomas Jr. For me, it makes me nervous for some reason. A lot of times when you have players that suddenly show up on everybody's radar because of their combine performance, they instantly become, oh my gosh, everybody needs this guy. He has the production. He, you know, he was a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's not just a combine guy, but I have a nervous feeling about him for some reason. I can't explain it. I can't put my finger on it.
They're butterflies, Ronnie. The exact opposite. You're gonna love it.
And I feel the exact opposite with McConkie. Yeah. And the one thing that stands out for me about McConkie that I keep reading about is two things: his desire, his work ethic, and his route running. I've seen some kind of scouting reports talking about him as the best route running among the receivers in this draft, more so than Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, or Odunze. And to me, yes, you can get better at the route tree, but if you come into the league and that's already your main strength, that's huge. Huge, because then you can just focus on learning the offense. You know how to run the routes. You're good at it. You already have 4.39 speed because you can't obviously coach speed. And I know Brian Thomas, I think, had a 4.31 or 2 or something like that. So he's a little bit faster, but 4.39, that can still get upfield pretty dang quick. So that's where I'm at with that. Another one, defensive tackle that we can get around the fourth round is Christian Boyd out of Northern Illinois. That's another player I'm falling in love with. If you want to call it a man crush, by all means, call it that. I love this kid, and he's another one. High motor, doesn't stop, relentless pursuit. Those are some of the key words that I read with his scouting reports. And then I agree with what you were saying, Casey. Let's take that first pick, drop back into the early second. You're probably still going to get a Troy Franklin or a McConkie or one of those guys. You add an extra second or third round, and then you use, because the bulk of these 11 picks are in the last three rounds. So use some of those to get up a little higher. So your main part of this draft is between rounds 2 and 5. If you can do that and still pull in 8, 9 picks, that to me would be the perfect draft.
So trade back. Agreed. And then trade back. Yeah. Up again.
Agreed. Yeah, trade back. 100%. Like I said, targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, and I'm just going to throw this out there, and maybe this isn't a popular opinion or whatever, but we always hear about the best player available, right? I have a hard time believing that GMs and coaches go into a draft and like, well, this guy's the number one on our draft board. We're taking him. Well, you already have a franchise quarterback. Well, yeah, but he's the best player available. I just think that there's, to me, when you talk about best player available, and I think somebody mentioned in the comments a while ago, best player available at a need. So yeah. if you've got four guys around your value where you think they should be, you're going to draft for the need. You're going to look at that four guys and like, well, yeah, this guy's probably the best of this four, but the third best of this four answers a need that we have. So to me, it's a combination. It's not just strictly best available.
Mm-hmm. But there's so many widespread of needs that it's like best available.
People like to talk about we're not playing Madden here, and I we're not. But when I draft on Madden, you damn right I'm drafting for need. That's how I do it. And I win, mainly because I'm controlling it and I'm good at it. But
it's easier than running.
Yeah. I mean, whatever happens in Madden is real life, right? Like, come on.
Speaking of which, when you get home, we need to have a Madden game. Ronnie and I have known each other for almost 3 years now and have been playing Madden the same amount of time, obviously, and have never played each other because he's a PS5 nerd and I'm an Xbox nerd. But I just got the new Xbox, so now that we're cross-plat, Ronnie and I need to make something work.
We'll live stream maybe it.
Maybe we can even stream it and come up with some sort of bet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll commentate in the bottom corner or something.
Oh my gosh.
<That'd be> perfect.
We'll get it going.
That would be perfect.
You know how I feel about bets. Let's go through some of these comments here really quick because we're at an hour. But there were some other ones up here. Claude, I can't pronounce the last name, but P-U-I-S. He said something about Samuel being basically McKenzie, only better. And when I was listening to Joe talk about Curtis Samuel and his thoughts on him, that's exactly what was going through my mind. Was Curtis Samuel was just a better version of Isaiah McKenzie, and I think that's how they're going to use him. And right now we have 666 viewers. Okay, thank you. Somebody dropped off, so now I didn't like seeing that number on my screen.
I was hanging there for a second. You guys were talking about the devil Madden.
I know, right? But so I agree with what Claude was saying as far as that. He also mentioned, please stop talking about Justin Shorter because we don't know, and that's absolutely correct. There's a lot of Justin Shorter fans out there. I don't know why. He's not done anything yet to make anybody think that he's going to be even make the team for that matter, right? Maybe he's a number two receiver. We don't know. But it's interesting that there are so many people out there that think he's the next great thing. And why, I don't know. Can you guys explain that?
Because he's built like DK Metcalf.
I'd say Matt Collins has as big of a shot as Shorter does to be a play part in the offense this year.
Yeah, so. That's how I see it. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. If you are listening on YouTube, please hit the like button and subscribe to the Buffalo Lowdown YouTube channel. We also have our own YouTube channel at the
Buffalo Rumblings Network, not that's the Buffalo Lowdown. No.
Oh, Lowdown.
Buffalo Rumblings. Okay, if I didn't say Rumblings, my bad. Buffalo Rumblings Network. I write for Lowdown, so that's different.
But, here it is.
Hit the like, hit the subscribe for both the YouTube channels. Also, you can find us over on Facebook at the Mafia Cast. If you're listening there, hit the like, share, subscribe to our channel, our page, I guess it's called there. But so we're going to get out of here. Do you guys have any last things you want to throw in? Any last comments about the... Oh, next week, we're going to do a live mock draft on the show. So Become a part of that. We'd love to hear people's inputs. And basically what we're going to do is each pick, we'll kind of discuss what we want to do with it, whether it's we may do some trades. But we also want the input from the fans and the comments. And so if you have a good point, or maybe the three of us can't make a decision, and we'll leave it up to the fans to decide for us. So be a part of that.
We might even run a few of them this offseason, right, before draft time.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another fun, interactive way to get involved in the show. Again, we appreciate all you guys. And, yeah, I don't got much else to add.
Yeah, and we need to come up with a contest. Sort of a contest giveaway that involves mock drafts.
Yeah. And next week, we have John on the show, and we'll be doing our next giveaway next week. So maybe we can do a thing to where if someone predicts what we do, but in the first round, so say whether they pick the right player or whether we trade up or trade back.
See, the way that I've done a giveaway in the past, when I first started doing podcasts, we had fans email their first round mock, picks 1 through 32. And for each pick, if you get the position right, you get a point. If you get the player right, it's a point, and so on. And if the team was right, because, you know, sometimes teams trade out. And then so we did it that way. But we'll come up with something. That's next month. Like Casey said, next week we'll have John, the owner of Game On Sports, will be with us. So he'll be part of the mock draft. So it's going to be a good time. I know. We're going to get out of here, and we'll see you all next week. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153. 2153.